Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And that was just Monday. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Gumake were presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And you thought you could ease into the week. You thought wrong, because Janae, whether it is in college or the professional ranks right now, we're seeing some people, and I think one namely in this case in Draymond Green, starting to speak up about that discomfort that happens when players start coming out here and realizing, no, we can do stuff now. And whether that's what we've seen from the NBA or what we'll get into in a little bit with Jalen Johnson and the situation at Duke, it is amazing, Chiney, the way that people kind of respond every time this issue come up and how it's changed a lot, even in recent years.
Athletes are going, amea, amea, on the media. On the sports world, you get what I'm doing here? Do you want to explain what I did?
Is that, again, your attempt at the Kamehameha from Dragon Ball Z?
Kamehameha!
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Yes, Chiney, every once in a while, has been known to bust this out right now as the athletes against their teams and sports media have as well.
Do you forget what you have on your chest?
No, I do. You know what? Every once in a while, I do forget that I look down and see that I'm wearing a Dragon Ball Z shirt. So, as usual, Chiney, you are much more observant and aware of things than even I am on my own body at this point.
It's okay, but I'm really glad, and it's okay, friend, and that's the whole point. I look at you and you look beautiful each and every day on ESPN+. But what Draymond Green has said, and I love it because a lot of people have different thoughts on Draymond Green. How much value does he really bring in the if you're trying to divvy up the Warriors dynasty and who's the real reason why? He's the heart and soul of the team, but I think he's also the heart and soul and the voice of a lot of players. When it comes to issues, he will say things that other people probably won't just because out of fear, but that's not how he's built, and he gave us a gem yesterday.
He did. So for anyone that missed it, last night after the Golden State Warriors game and win over the Cleveland Cavaliers, Draymond Green had something to say because on the other sideline, he saw Andre Drummond sitting out. And for anyone who has missed that, Andre Drummond right now being held out of the Cleveland Cavaliers lineup as they look to transition to younger players in his spot and are now looking to deal him, trying to preserve that asset. Draymond Green saw that and in his mind saw a double standard.
To watch Andre Drummond before the game sit on the sideline, then go to the back and then come out in street clothes because a team is going to trade him is bullshit. Because when James Harden asked for a trade and essentially dogged it, I don't think there was no surprise or no, you know, there's no one's going to fight back that James was dogging it his last days in Houston. But he was castrated for wanting to go to a different team, and everybody destroyed that man. And yet a team can come out and say, oh, we want to trade a guy, and then that guy is to go sit. And if he doesn't stay professional, then he's a cancer, and he's not good in someone's locker room, and he's the issue.
Now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, and I appreciate that even Draymond had to go, yeah, we all saw him mailing it in towards the end of that one. We're all aware of what we saw there. It was that butt naked out in the open. But, Chiney, overall, the overall point for him, the double standard that he sees, do you think he's right?
Yes. Now, I think a lot of people sort of have hesitation in acknowledging that because they feel like if you're getting paid millions of dollars to do a job that a lot of people envy, a job that is not, doesn't feel like a job, it's something we love. It's what we've been as athletes working our whole lives for. A lot of people might say, well, you should just be happy that you have that job in the first place. And I'm here to sort of say, athletes are on a different type of energy now, especially given the last 365, where we're trying to sort of speak to our value as human beings operating in a system that not necessarily was built to help us at all times outside of our paychecks. We want to be valued as individuals as well. And so when you see a situation where, as he mentioned, James Harden or now Andre Drummond, and he even cited, you know, going back to situations with Boogie Cousins getting traded right after All-Star, though that side of the business is tough, and a lot of people will say, hey, you're getting paid millions of dollars, you should be fine with that. But I think it's the operation of decency when we're going through our business that a lot of athletes are trying to flex their muscles and say, is there a better way forward than having to see a situation with James Harden going through all of those, you know, quote unquote antics to sort of facilitate his way out, knowing that the media will talk about those antics and that will be his narrative, not necessarily what got him to that point. And the point is very similar to where the Cleveland Cavaliers are. We understand, you know, hey, we're trying to rebuild, we're going with young talent. James Harden saw the writing on the wall that they are in a full rebuild, fairly new ownership, new GM, new coach, new players and teammates, and now he's supposed to produce and start over at the age of 31 as someone who has built a lot of, you know, credibility as an offensive threat out in the league. So, you know, Draymond was speaking to the human aspect of what these players go through, where when a team decides that they are done with your services, you can do what, you know, you have to do whatever that team wants you to do. But when a player sort of is in a situation where, you know, they have far less control, but they're trying to also control their future in a way that they would like, they have their only recourse is creating a situation that doesn't help them outside of getting them out. And so while it's difficult to digest what Draymond probably says, if you can't relate to the life of an NBA player, it's more so about the decency within the workplace, where how come it's allowed for teams to operate how they see fit. But when players have struggles, there has to be a better vehicle than athletes like James Harden having to flex his own muscle and take a hit in his perception. Because we're all rational human beings, Junior. We all understand, like, all right, if you line it up, I understand why you want to leave. If you line it up, I understand Deshaun Watson too, if we're talking about Houston, why you might want to leave. We get that, but look at the recourses. Like, and Deshaun is someone that doesn't want to have to be a bad guy, but is he going to have to be in order to get what he wants? And that's sort of what Draymond Green was highlighting.
Jhené Golub Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golub Jr. and Jhené Egbunike. And that was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And that does seem to be the crux of it, is it's, I think, less of what goes on. Now, you could tell it got a little personal because Draymond brought up that he was once fined for comments he made about Devin Booker's status when he was serving as an analyst on TNT. He talked about Anthony Davis being fined for some comments that he made on his way out of the situation with the Pelicans in there. And so I'm sure part of that is, man, you guys are going to fine us. Now, keep in mind, teams get fined tons of money for tampering all the time, but it is the how in that process. And what it is it's equal parts the teams and the way they go about it, because you're right, this extends to sports at all levels, where we see in college all the time, how many times do teams have to find out about their coach leaving from Twitter, from some sort of media source, instead of from the person themselves? How often are these trades conducted in a way that seems to lack that personal touch when everyone hears about these organizations and teams being families? And so I think it's the teams and the media, the way, because as much as we might feel like we on this show and a lot of people around here at our company talk about athletes as being on that level when you've got stars trying to work their way out, Jhené, I feel like there has to be a realization that time and time again, and what we'll talk about with Jalen Johnson and Duke is a reminder, there are a lot of people that still believe when you are there and you are the player, you are there to ultimately do what the organization tells you to, and that's just not where these guys are anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where it was for a long portion. But now, as we sort of look introspectively at how we want to view and treat one another in our workplace, in our communities, that's the energy that athletes are on. It's no longer just one solitary thing. It's all constructively, you know, trying to move to a better system that works for everyone, not just, okay, should I have to like deal with this situation? But, you know, Junior, as you were talking, it sort of hit me personally because, you know, I was in a really tough position not too long ago. Was it like about 2 years ago when I realized, hey, your girl tries to do it all. I'm waking up at 3-4 a.m. trying to come and work at ESPN, which I love. But at the same time, like, I'm trying to train to be a top, you know, athlete. And, you know, the constraints that that put on me personally as an athlete, it was tough. And I always tell people the hardest thing that I ever had to do was go to the Connecticut Sun front office and say, hey, guys, I need to find a solution that works better for me to not feel like I'm compromising both of my dreams, which are both of my jobs. And they, you know, your girl cried a little bit, but they understood. And even though, like, as a number one pick and we were literally in the playoffs finally, this was 5 years after being in Connecticut, a lot of people sort of may not have understood that initially. And I say, like, they really did what I wanted them to do. And now I'm in LA, which helps my overall life from a balance perspective. But I still go back to Connecticut and a lot of the fans boo, right? Every time I touch the ball. And so, you know, it's that personal touch that I'm fortunate to have had with the front office, despite what the public perception was, that allowed me to sort of figure out something that worked. But it was still one of the hardest things, and probably the one of the most contentious things professionally, it is actually, that I've ever had to deal with. And imagine that on the NBA caliber center stage, you know? And so it, with millions of dollars involved, it gets very messy. And I think that's just basically the human aspect that Draymond is saying, that that sometimes you see the good situations where it works out. Sometimes you see the bad. And there have been a number of situations that for sure could have been better.
There are. And I think it's important to understand the role, like you said, that organizations, that the media can play in how you're perceived when you walk back into that arena. It may not fix everybody, but the way it's characterized can often have huge impacts, impacts bigger than we can ever see. So coming up next, let's go to the college level and talk about the impact the words we use are going to have on one player in a sport where we talk about one and dones all the time that seems to have a big problem with one particular guy being done. We'll get to that next. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Few buzzwords that always hit anytime you're talking about athletes, and quitter tends to be that scarlet letter that few are going to be comfortable wearing. But it's a word that's popped up a lot in the last 24 hours. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Janae Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. And Janae, this is interesting to me because I, you know, make a lot of my living around here covering college football, getting to call games, things like that. And you've watched, just like I have, as more and more athletes in college football have been opting out early from bowl games. We've seen that for the last few years. But what we saw earlier this year during a COVID-19 year, a season unlike any other, was a lot of players that chose to opt out at the start of the season. Some players that, when their team was out of contention, clearly wasn't going that way, decided to opt out and start getting ready for the NFL draft. I'm amazed at some of the response we've seen as college basketball has dealt with this in Duke's Jalen Johnson, because it is a sport that, I mean, is used to seeing players go one and done in college all the time, and yet now Jalen Johnson has announced that he is going to forego the rest of his time at Duke and start getting ready for the NBA, and it seems like people are out here big mad.
Yeah, so, and this is what I don't like, because we understand that every person that is doing a job, whether you are an essential worker or not, helping, you know, holding down your family, whether you are in the NCAA system right now as an athlete, which we both know, Junior, that's doing a job, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
If you choose to do that, we want to defend you, and we are here and we appreciate your sacrifice, because this year, when it comes to collegiate athletics, and I know this through the vantage point of following Stanford women's basketball, you know, when it comes to collegiate sports right now with basketball, it's a sacrifice that these athletes are taking, isolated themselves from their families for large portions of not only the holidays, but the large academic school year. Stanford was on the road for the first 2 months of the season while they were number one, on the road trying to figure it out. And they were not able to go back to campus at home, Stanford, because, you know, of the shelter in place and all that type of stuff, because they'd been moving around and competing because they're trying to get through the season. And so I'm really inclined to, like, say, man, any athlete that steps into the arena this year, I really commend. But this is really complicated, because with Jalen Johnson, and you saw that there are a lot of his background being brought up. He went to two different Wisconsin high schools before transferring to IMG. He never played a game at IMG before he left under unique circumstances. And then now he comes. So basically the last full season he truly played was his junior year. And then after that, senior year and now freshman year at Duke, you know, it just is, it's just tough, because a lot of people might say, hey, like, we don't know what he could look future wise based on his history of not completing a year with the team. If he comes to the NBA draft, would we'd probably be concerned with, like, what if he's not happy, would he just, you know, not want to stay and ride through the tough situation? And so, you know, I do think that this season is hard, and maybe harder than most people expected. It's funny, Junior, because as I talk to my little sisters, they told me, hey, Chanae, most people that have chosen to play do get an additional year, and they're able to play based on, you know, choosing to play this year. And so with a lot of things to weigh, I feel like this is a very tough situation for Jalen to be in. And I don't knock anyone for making the transition professionally. I understand why people might have questions moving forward, whether, you know, he's committed to a full season when things get tough. Because if you look at the track record, it's hard to ignore that as well.
And I think there's going to be a lot of different factors that go into all of those spots along the journey. It's the difficulty, and I always tell people this, in knowing you've got a clock on all of this stuff. Like, you're out here trying to get noticed. When you go back and read old articles about Jalen Johnson leaving IMG and him feeling weird being out of sight, out of mind in that spot when he wasn't playing initially up there, and all of these things that are driven by, and especially this happens when you get to that 4 or 5 year window in college, I got to get mine in a limited amount of time to try and really be able to cash in on this later. And it makes it difficult. And so it's always interesting with me when I hear Seth Greenberg, who does a great job around here as a college basketball analyst, former college basketball coach, gets up and brings up that Q word again.
Here's the thing. There's a difference between opting out and quitting.
Yeah.
See, if you opt out, you don't clear out your locker.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if you clear out your locker, basically you're quitting on your team because he's part of a group. You can say I'm opting out because I don't feel good about myself. I want to kind of look in the mirror and kind of reevaluate myself.
Yeah.
That's one thing, but you keep your stuff in your locker room. If you pick up and move out, there's a big difference there. So basically he has left his team or he's quit on his team because you're opting out. You're not quitting on your team. You're just saying, you know what? I got to take a step away. I just things aren't right.
Yep.
Now, here's the one question. These kids have such unrealistic expectations.
100%.
All right, that these are when they're not met. All of a sudden, I think there's so much pressure from outside sources and static around these kids that it becomes overwhelming.
And so this was some of the difficulty of the ebb and flow. It's Chinna Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio of Jalen Johnson's season. He's played in 13 total games this year, averaged just over 11 points, 6 boards, and 2 assists in each game. He missed 3 games with a foot injury, came back, was a starter, and then started coming off the bench. His minutes were going down, production, etc. In a vacuum, you can look at this and say this player was not healthy. Apparently, this foot was not 100% going into this, was on a Duke team that's bad this year. We can call it what it is, one that's looking like it's going to struggle to even make the tournament this year, and now is also considered a lottery pick. He was the 13th ranked player in the ESPN 300 last year, and so we've seen that again in college football all the time. Bad team, COVID year, let me get the hell out of here and go make sure I preserve the level of basketball that's going to make me money. And credit to Mike Krzyzewski, he said, well, we're encouraged by what we're seeing medically for Jalen's future. We believe this is the best decision in his best interest. We are ultimately careful with every one of our players and will continue to support Jalen as he progresses towards his goal of playing professional basketball. Like, that is the level-headed look at this, given all the surrounding circumstances. And if you're going to grade him as a prospect, then yes, digging into those other factors is important, Chinna, but I think to sit up here and accuse him of quitting when we know the situations around this year is just something I'm never going to get down with.
Exactly, and I think that's the difference. Anyone that opts into a season has made a brave choice playing and trying to play. And as a person that has dealt with injuries myself, managing the injuries, you know, there's a pressure and an expectation on that as well. So I just hate that the numbers and the facts and the figures might present a different argument. But I think as athletes, you know, you and I both, any season that you sort of sign up for, the first game you go out there, you know you're dealing with a situation where you could potentially be injured, potentially have your future change based on taking the risk of playing at the highest level. And mind you, this is Duke. And if Coach K is behind him, I feel like most should be because he probably understands his situation better than others.
Smart business by Coach K, by the way, in modern college basketball, that now he is dipped into the one-and-done category. Making sure you preserve that idea that we're going to help you get to that level is smart business by the Duke men's basketball coach. But coming up next, let's see what the business should look like for the Los Angeles Lakers. Anthony Davis, as we talked about yesterday, going to be out for 2 or 3 weeks. What's the next move in Lakerland? We'll get to that after this word from Body Armor.
Ooh, body crazy, workout ready, big drink on deck. Let Body Armor Light help you achieve your fitness goals this year. Body Armor Light is the low-calorie sports drink, hydrating your active lifestyle in flavors like berry punch and coconut. It has no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Athletes like Diana Taurasi, the White Mamba, Donovan Mitchell, Spida, and Megan Rapinoe, the World Cup champ, use Body Armor Light to stay hydrated, so why not give it a try? Okay, so from now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product and earn $10 in fitness cash to select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That is bacommittofit.com. So we got the word on Anthony Davis yesterday, but how does this affect the Lakers moving forward? Come kick it with us here as an insider joins me, because we going back to Cali, where your girl resides. That's right after this on Chinna Engel Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Chinna Engel Jr., the podcast.
What's the level of concern over this injury with Anthony Davis right now?
Kevin, it's significant.
All right, Wilbon, what does Anthony Davis' injury mean for the Lakers?
Trouble.
But just how much trouble? We try and sit and assess what the Lakers should do next now that Anthony Davis, according to our own Adrian Wojnarowski, going to be out for the next 2 to 3 weeks. It's Chinna Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinna Egwumike. Coming up in about 10 minutes, I'm genuinely curious, at Janae, at Mike Golic Jr., and hell, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Which member, because we talk so much about the offseason quarterback carousel as a group, Janae, I'm curious which individual quarterback, let's say in the non-Deshaun Watson division, because we know he's going to be the sun and the moon and all this, which NFL quarterback's destination, where they end up on the move to, is most interesting to you? Which of these offseason quarterbacks, at Janae and at Mike Golic Jr.? Because there are a lot of them, and I feel like when you look at each individual domino, there could be a lot of ripple effects. Let's say like a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo's future, yep, and what happens to him.
Reunited, potentially a lot of people talking about the Patriots, and that would be fascinating. So yeah, I'm going to look at my list here. I've got a couple of options. What's going on in Miami is crazy, especially based on what we talked about yesterday with social media, you know, everything with Dak Prescott. It seems like, you know, another Texas quarterback started having his own subliminals himself.
Yep, we're going to get back into more social media news in the NFL. But first, let's get caught up on the news in the NBA. And to help us out with that right now, our ESPN NBA writer and reporter, Ramona Shelburne, joining us now on the Goodyear Hotline. And Ramona, we know the big news yesterday was surrounding Anthony Davis. We've had 24 hours to kind of sit with it now, but I'm curious, from anything you've heard or talked about, is there a move to be made in the immediacy after this for the Los Angeles Lakers now to try and compensate?
You know, I don't see a move, just because they'd have to cut someone, right? And they really like all the guys they have right now. There's a couple of guys on the team. Obviously, they don't play very much. That'd be Jared Dudley or Quinn Cook. Those are the kind of the two guys at the end of the bench, but they are absolute favorites of the coaching staff, of LeBron, of everyone in the Lakers organization. And I don't see them, you know, freaking out about not having AD for, I would say it's going to be like a month, right? When all said and done, it's going to be after the All-Star game. So, you know, it's February 16th today. Is that right? I never know what day it is anymore, but I'd say we'll probably see him right after the All-Star break. If not, and we'll see where he is, right? They're going to reevaluate him in 2 or 3 weeks. So let's see where he is. Maybe it's longer, but I don't think they're worried about these 9 games. You know, I think they're worried about May and June. So I don't think you cut one of your favorite players to balance out for 9 games.
Mama Momo. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Ramona Shelburne here with us, ESPN NBA writer and reporter, which we all.
You can call me Mama Momo. That's all right. I answered that. That's cool.
I see all your IG posts with your beautiful son, and I just miss you so much. Here with us on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And Momo, what does this really mean for the Lakers competitively on the floor? Because a lot of people have been citing LeBron James and his low minutes, you know, I think 35 or so minutes per game. We feel like his usage has to go up based on this Anthony Davis news.
Well, here's the thing, Janae. So LeBron has always been a guy who plays a lot of minutes. And, I mean, I've covered him so many years now, I forget when this started. Okay, I don't know if it was when he was 30 or 31 or whatever it was. But, you know, I feel like I've asked that question of all of his coaches. Like, hey, are you playing him too many minutes? Because, you know, it's like a lot. And he's older. And, you know, I feel like that's been a story for like 5-6 years already. And Ty Lue told me something one time when he was in Cleveland. He goes, you know, LeBron likes to play. He feels like he gets better with more minutes. Like, he doesn't need to rest. He plays himself into shape. And, you know, I just think that's how he's wired. Like, that's just his DNA, his makeup. And if you haven't noticed, he's pretty determined to win that MVP this year. Like, I mean, he kind of seems like that's important to him. You know, he kind of called that out last offseason, or not even offseason, last year during the playoffs when they announced the MVP. And he's played like he's on a mission. So if, as much as like you and me and anybody else who are watching him say like, oh, don't overdo it, LeBron, come on, you're 36. Like, look, I remember 36 for me. I was a couple years ago. That's when I couldn't pull all-nighters anymore. It hits you. You know, I used to be able to stay up all night writing a story, and then all of a sudden I was like, man, I just hit that wall. Right? Okay? I'm just like, I want to tell him to stop, but he's not going to stop. He's just trying to win an MVP, and if anything, I think this is an opportunity where if he plays more and the Lakers don't really miss a beat with AD out, and they got a really tough schedule coming up here. They got a couple of games with Utah, right? They have a couple of games they play Brooklyn this week. Like, there's some big games for the Lakers coming up. If they don't miss a beat and LeBron is LeBroning, okay, I'm going to make that into a verb. So, like, that helps his MVP case. And I know you're going to want to tell him to chill, you know, don't worry about these, but I think he sees it as, this is how I get ready. This is how I've always been.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to ESPN senior writer Ramona Shelburne as LeBron James searches for the wall and still having trouble finding it right now like the rest of us. Ramona, I was curious about your thoughts on Draymond Green, the comments he made about Andre Drummond, and just in general the double standard he sees in the NBA between the way player movement is treated versus the way that team movement is treated. Do you think he was on to something with these comments?
Oh, yeah. Oh, let me tell you. Draymond is a voice of the players, okay? So he is not the only player who thinks this way. He's just the only one who had the guts to say it. And I, you know, you got to kind of have the old hat say stuff like that because, they, you know, LeBron could say that. I think Draymond could. Who else? Chris Paul could. Just people who've been in the league and have done something, right? They've won or they have the respect of their peers. I think younger players who feel the exact same way don't say anything. But they feel like that. And like, I get it. I mean, it's really hard. It was hard for me to watch. Like, he gave the example of Anthony Davis. Okay. And I think that's a pretty good example. Guy played really hard for a team for a number of years, signed a couple extensions and then wanted out. Okay. He really got crushed reputationally in New Orleans. And some of that was self-inflicted. Okay. At the end, especially, but, it didn't like why did it always seems to go that way. Like, I can't think of too many players who have played to the end of their contracts, done a couple extensions, right? Like Kevin Durant's another who had the same kind of situation after he left. I mean, that is how it works. You play, you sign your contract, and then towards the end, if your team hasn't built a winner around you and you want to, and that's important to you in your career, and you're getting close to 30 and you want to have a better chance to win, like, I don't blame players for wanting to leave. Now, it's one thing to force a trade, or, you know, that's different than free agency, but players really do feel caught by that. Like, hey, how come when we want out, it's, you know, we're terrible, et cetera. And then when the team doesn't want to play us, you know, everybody just goes along with it and the player has to be professional. And if he says, I mean, that is something I have heard every day when these situations come up. And I guess I understand, like, look, the fans always kind of take the side of the team versus the player. I think it's hard to feel sorry for people who make millions of dollars to play basketball, you know? And I do think, I've always seen that. I'm always surprised by it. Like, why do you take the side of billionaires over millionaires? Like, I know they're both rich, but like, the billionaires have all the leverage here. The millionaires are actually the guys playing. So I've always kind of been on the player side of these things. And I think there's, you know, the league has tried to crack down on teams just like flat out resting players because they're trying to tank. I don't know how they're going to handle this resting players because they're trying to trade them. That's kind of awkward, right? Like, that's the same boat, same vein that we're talking about. So I'm glad Draymond said something. I'm glad he gave voice to that. And it's, if you don't say something, sometimes it's the coach who says something, like Greg Popovich always would bring this up, or Phil Jackson used to bring things like this up. So this is how we have debate in this league. And I wouldn't be surprised for two or three other guys to kind of join in the chorus. You know, we saw veteran guys like who will kind of take up the microphone and speak up on behalf of players who maybe don't have the stature to do that.
And certainly to see if they can prompt the league to act, because Draymond did mention the fact that he was fined, the fact that Anthony Davis was fined. And so you can kind of see where some of this very understandable motivation comes from. Ramona, we appreciate you stopping by as always. We will talk to you very soon as this NBA season rolls along.
Thanks, Momo.
All right. See you guys.
The great Ramona Shelburne, ESPN writer, great basketball reporter with us on the Goodyear Hotline. But that's where we want to hear from you. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN.
Call us.
The quarterback situation on this offseason, the quarterback carousel spot that you are most intrigued by as we head into an offseason the likes of which we've never seen. We'll do that next. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
We're going to spend this whole offseason spinning the wheel of quarterbacks. But I feel like there's a couple of guys that we're missing out on, a couple of guys that we're not necessarily showing enough love to. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinne Igwumike, and we'll get to your calls in a second. 888-729-3776 on the quarterback situation you're most interested in this offseason. Because Chinne, yesterday we talked to ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes, who came on with us, and we have heard this flirtation, this idea all, you know, really this past year about, man, if the 49ers feel like moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe he could end up back home with Papa Bill, back home in New England, the place that let him go originally, that wanted him so bad before Tom Brady kind of made it known he didn't like that. And Mina Kimes actually came on and spoke a little bit of truth to power to that yesterday on this show.
I think it's pretty likely, to be honest. And who among us, you know, hasn't looked back at our lowest at an ex and thought, maybe I had something good there, and maybe, you know, and listen, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is a huge difference maker, but I also don't think the Pats have a lot of better options. They do have cap space, but they're not picking high enough in the draft to go after any of the top four quarterbacks. They'd have to trade up, which they never do. And then after you get out of Watson and Prescott, there aren't really free agents that are better. I think San Francisco, it's become pretty clear that they want out and they can get out, whether it's a trade or a cut. So a reunion makes a lot of sense to me.
And Chinne, I feel like for that reason, because this could affect not only the Patriots, but if 49ers decide to deal or go on from Jimmy Garoppolo, you're talking about a team with major Super Bowl aspirations in a big-time Super Bowl window, all of a sudden being able to upgrade in that spot in a way I feel like doesn't get talked about nearly enough because it's a little farther down on the list from the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes.
Yeah, it is very a little bit farther away, but farther. But, you know, this Patriots and Jimmy G reunion could be really interesting just because when you think about Bill Belichick, I mean, I know coaches can coach forever, but I feel like there's so much pressure based on what we just witnessed this past NFL season that if these seasons of Brady's greatness continue to pile on, which we all can't predict, but it seems like he can. Plus, the Patriots sort of have this need at quarterback after their experiment with Cam Newton didn't go so well. So you're not only trying to make people know that, you know, we still have a helm on what this franchise has done after Brady, plus bring in the next generation, you know, quarterback for them, whether it is a veteran or whether it is trying to find from like ground zero. I feel like it's good to have that sense of familiarity. And so that's an interesting possibility.
And it maybe allows them to look at quarterback still in this draft, but there is very little substitute for being in a place that wants you. And we know that Bill Belichick and company in New England were very high on Jimmy when he was there. But we know that's not the only answer. 888-729-3776. Let's go to Jeff in Pennsylvania. Jeff, which quarterback situation are you most interested in this offseason?
Afternoon, guys. I am still, I know a lot of people are really down on this, but the Carson Wentz situation. What if this guy just had an off year, goes to Indianapolis, reunites with Frank White, and ends up either in the AFC Championship game or at the Super Bowl? And everybody's like, well, why couldn't he play like that in Philadelphia? What if, I mean, what if just there was some headspace error? What if there were some issues?
Well, I think that's what we most often kind of look at this situation and try and account for, Chinne, is sometimes, again, difficulty in being in a place where you just don't vibe for whatever reason. And we've seen that in Philadelphia with Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. That just, outside of one season, really wasn't able to get off onto the right foot. And so now if you reunite with DeFilippo, get Frank Reich in there and what he's meant, maybe you do get the best version of Carson Wentz. And I've said it on this show, you get the best version of him away from a franchise that's maybe allowed him to have a little bit too much input, a little bit too much control.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a little bit of the worst version of history happening there where you see really high highs where you win a Super Bowl, but also really low lows where you've dealt with a number of injuries, and I'm speaking of Carson Wentz. And so there's so much familiarity there, and then there's a lot of, you know, discontent, whether it is, you know, with management now having to part ways with their coach, and then now you have Jalen Hurts stepping in and taking your reps at quarterback, and they're looking better with him out there. It just is, I think sometimes, like, that mental aspect of, you know, being an athlete, we sometimes don't make a big enough deal of how hard it probably was for Carson to process all of that information. And I feel like a fresh start probably makes the most sense at this point.
Fresh start could be very, very helpful. So again, 888-729-3776. If you want to give us the quarterback situation you're most interested in coming up this offseason, 888-SAY-ESPN. Reminder, the college basketball season's heating up. That means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees, like Villanova's Colin Gillespie and South Carolina is Aaliyah Boston as the season rolls along. The John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. Coming up next, let's head back to the NBA for an outspoken Draymond Green here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.